The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
All right, next line is open. Grab it while the grabbing's good. 303-696-1971. Chuck Bonniewell is standing by. Chuck Bonniewell is, like me, one of the crazies now, apparently in control of the Republican Party. We both serve on the executive committee of the Colorado State GOP. I'm there because I'm the national committee man for the RNC. He's there because he was elected to that position. Very familiar name and voice to 710 CAN-US. Chuck, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I
do have to react to Tanya's treatment at St. Joseph's.
Yeah, man.
I had a flutter and had it operated on. Had an ablation. Also, I played football and rugby till I was 30, so I've been in for who knows how many replacement operations. And so I've got to meet a lot of on-call doctors. And I know you know this, but you know, you get out of medical school and you do your residency. The first year is called an internship, and those are normally the on-call doctors. Well, you know what it's like. You know, you're just out of law school. You have no idea what you're doing. You have no idea. And I've met a lot of great on-call doctors, just wonderful ones. But some of them are just horror shows. Horror shows. Traditionally, they have you work 28-hour shifts. Now, some people don't need sleep as much as others, but some people's judgment after 26 hours of not being able to sleep is just horrendous. It is just horrendous. And you know, more medical malpractice is occasioned by on-call doctors who are either tired or not knowing what they're doing. And so, you know, you did it right. You have to have a patient advocate in your family who's fighting for you, because those, you can get a bad on-call doctor, which apparently you got, and it can be just deadly.
Well, Chuck, if I'm ever in that situation with her again or something similar, they're going to have to bring in police officers to remove me from the room. I will never leave her alone overnight. Again, because that, can you imagine you're in that kind of agony? Your heart's been fluttering out of control for 13, 14 hours. And then the guy comes in with, and I haven't named him yet. It was a young doctor, blue eyes. But to come in with,
got out of medical school,
to come in with the arrogance that, well, it's not my practice to give narcotics for sleep. She wasn't asking for narcotics for sleep. But then to say, when she said, you know, my legs are on fire so much, I feel like jumping out that window. Well, we can address your mental health later. And then when she
shouldn't be practicing,
I know. And that's why I'm coming for him. I may name him on this show after we get a little further down. I haven't heard the other side of the story yet, but I'm not buying it.
Well, he didn't. I promise he didn't do it just to Tanya. You know, his persona. And if you can get so he doesn't do that to other people in the future, you've done St. Joseph's
precisely, because so many people at St. Joseph's were great to us and to her.
Oh yeah, they are. They are.
But
and I'd like to agree with a woman that nothing against St. Joseph. I've never been there. I've been to lots of other.
Yeah.
But Swedish is a wonderful hospital.
It's good to know. And I didn't know they had Kaiser privileges, so that's important to know as well. Last thing about this blue-eyed, baby-faced doctor, the thing that's the killer for me is when he said she could take her prescription meds, which were in her purse, and that not that they would have done a bit of good. She was way past her regular sort of maintenance doses helping her at all. But when she asked him to hand her the purse, and he said, your nurse can do that for you. He was standing right there. The purse was that level of arrogance. I'm glad he left, because I was so angry when I called, and when I kept my calm speaking. But had I seen him face to face, I literally don't know what might have happened if he tried to give me that same arrogant snottiness. I was that worked up and sleep deprived myself, you know?
Yes, 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 exactly, exactly.
Well, thanks for that.
I feel for Tanya and wish you the best.
Well, she's definitely much better at home, and her heart's normal, and we're going to get the ablation and move on. Right. And Dr. Julie's been great with support for her other health issues. God, I love her. Yeah. So, all right, my friend. So we've got a battle going on in the Republican Party. It's a tough uphill fight. Just lay out. We've got, you know, we can take 10 minutes here to finish this segment. Lay out for people what happened, why we are in an open primary, well, your view of what that's done to the Republican Party and how we can fix it. I'll just turn it over to you.
All right. In 2016, Kent Thierry, with Democratic activists, got on the ballot, Proposition 108, which mandated that for major parties, and that's Republican, Democratic Party, everybody, they'd mail out primary ballots. Everybody had to be able to vote on it if they wanted to, either Republican or Democrat. And so, you know, the whole idea was, quote unquote, to get more moderate Republicans and more moderate Democrats. Well, we've gotten plenty of moderate Republicans and no moderate Democrats. They've now figured out the system where in Weld County and other places where have strong Republican ones, they don't run Democrats particularly. They may have a sacrificial candidate. They pour all their money into electing Rhino Republicans who will sign on to the bills in the legislature. We lost Patrick Neville as leader because the new group that came in elected Hugh McCain, who loves to work with Democrats and denigrate other Republicans. We will, in 2 to 4 years, have no conservative members left. The party is really struggling. I've gone around the state along with Anil Mathai, and I know he's been on your program. Peg Cage, Jimmy Mack, the other guy, Ben Nicholas. And we've gone to virtually, we have been 45 counties talking to Republicans, everybody who'll meet with us. And it's all of a sudden started to snowball. It is really starting to go because they haven't seen often committee member, executive committee member ever. And they are desperate in a lot of these places. The economic stress in eastern Colorado is just heartbreaking if you've been out there. The great part about this trip is normally you get to go up and down the Front Range and maybe some ski towns. And I've been in Colorado for quite a few years. I got to see places I'd never been before, and I love meeting all the people. But we started gaining a lot of traction. And so the establishment decided, uh-oh, we better squash these guys. They look like they're starting to get enough people to opt out of the primaries and have a Republican-run primary, one in which we don't want Janet Griswold and her crooked Democrats running our primaries. He says the gold standard, except you can never audit it. Do you want those people telling you who won and who lost? No, you don't. And we have an opportunity here in Colorado to have any system we want. Virginia, in the same thing. They opted out. They had what called an unassembled convention. You could sign up as a delegate and then vote. And they did around all around locations in Virginia by paper ballots. They took them to Lynchburg, calculated them up, and came up with who the winners would be. We can set up any system we want. The establishment says, oh, we'll just do it through caucuses. No, we'll do it through the system we want. They constantly set up straw men. Christy Burton Brown says she sent out one to all central committee members saying it's neutral and then gave out ingenious or, you know, quite frankly, wrong information saying, okay, you're going to disenfranchise all other Republicans other than caucus goers. Wrong. We can set up any system we want, just like Virginia. We replied back. They decided to bring out John Caldera, John from the Independence Institute. And I like John. John has been kind enough to have me on Devil's Advocate. But he's been going on a whirlwind tour saying, Republicans are just about to win, here in Colorado, and these guys are going to blow it. Yeah, we've lost every state race. We've lost the House. We already lost the Senate. We're losing school board races. We're losing.
But
well,
that
since January.
But Chuck, that's ahead, Trump. Well, that's Trump's fault.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Just
yeah,
wanted to make
right.
sure we got it's that out there. Fault. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. It's, everybody hates Trump. And so that's really the problem. We've lost 22,000 registered Republicans just since January 1, just since January 1. And you know, we talked to a lot of these people. They weren't kind of go, oh, I wish you guys were even more liberal. I just want more liberal. And if you could, no, they're all going, you guys never fight for anybody
right.
or fight for anything.
Right.
I mean, we ever since the 2000 when Ted Trimpa and all those guys got together for the blueprint, they have changed every, and at 2000, the state was turning red. It was turning red. And they said, we're going to fix that. They changed every election law, every campaign law, every disclosure law, all in their benefit, all with the help of the rhinos in the Republican Party.
All
and
with the help of the Republican Party. That's the biggest frustration. Yes. So we're, you know, there's never enough time for these conversations. And maybe we should do another segment next week when we can sort of advance the conversation a little bit. Maybe take some calls. But when, you know, it's not statewide vote, it's not all Republicans who are going to get a chance to decide this. Explain to folks how this can change and what the deadline is for that.
Well, they had provided theory and others had tried to mandate the Republican Party and Democratic Party take unaffiliated voters in Utah and California. The Supreme Court ruled against it. The district court in Utah ruled against it. So they said, oh, we'll be really tricky, aren't they? We'll make it almost impossible. We'll have, you have to have 75% of all the membership. So if you don't show up or don't vote, that constitutes a no. So we got to get 75% to say yes at September 18th meeting.
Okay.
And obviously, we're threatening that, or they would not have pulled out John Caldera and the Independence Institute and all the rest of them to attack us. It means we're really making a difference.
There is some conversation also about challenging the constitutionality of Prop 108 and the 75% threshold requirement for the Republican Central Committee to, if they want to opt out of the primary. It's
in all likelihood unconstitutional. You can't go, we'll make it almost impossible for you. It's unconstitutional to make it impossible. So is it okay to make it almost impossible? And so, but the Republican Party, once again, has not challenged a single one of these laws in court. And they always claim poverty. They always say, well, we'd have to pay Brownstein, you know, $500,000 or $1 million. Well, don't pay Brownstein $1 million. Get together a group of like-minded Republicans, yourself, me, others, you know, raise enough money to pay for some costs and some other things. Figure out how to do. Because the Democrats always figure out how to do. And the establishment wing of the Republican Party always say, oh, no, we can't do anything. We've got to do whatever the Democrats do it. But this, we either opt out or we will not have a party that's worth supporting. It'll be so far left. You'll have the ones that really vote for Democrats. You'll have the ones who want heroin injection sites in your neighborhood. That's what you're going to have left. This is a battle for the soul of the Republican Party. And I'm really happy to announce yesterday, Tom Tancredo has joined the battle.
Okay.
He's decided he's throwing all his weight for the opt-out. And we've already got Dave Williams. We've already got Ron Hanks. We've already got a whole, really a group of incredible Republicans coming in. And that means that the Republicrats will now come after us even stronger. But what we're trying to have is September 18th. We're trying to get all the people to come in from the hinterlands to Denver and really have a gathering of eagles and really stand up for America, stand up for the principles that people like Donald Trump espouse and really change this state because anybody's been around.
Think about it, Chuck. When I was elected Republican National Committee man with more votes than the next two establishment candidates, Bill Cadman and Eli Bremer and maybe the third guy in there too, but darn close. That's the Republican Central Committee. That's those delegates voting. And so we know that the people who actually take the time to donate their time to the Republican Party and be a part of this structure are the conservatives that want to see a fighting Republican Party. And all we get in return is, but soccer moms. Yeah, but messaging. And you know.
I can tell you, because we met with women's groups. Peg Cage has a lot of great groups and so forth. And let me tell you, those soccer moms are outraged by the critical race theory, by the shoving transgenderism down their kids' throats and everything else. Those soccer moms are not kind of going, oh, I love those Democrats. They're just so great. No, they're outraged.
Chuck,
we just have to get away from the donors class and the consultants and fight for the average Republican Colorado.
We're out of time. Let's just plan on having you back next week. We'll advance the conversation, quick recap, and then we'll move it forward and maybe do that every week before the September meeting.
Oh, that'd be tremendous.
Because we know that'd a lot of those central committee members listen to this show or get the podcast later,
yes.
And that's very,
absolutely.
Very important.
Absolutely.
Last thing, different topic. Big changes at my law firm. I've actually had some people leave me because of the political direction, or they've said, you know, the direction
really?
Of the law firm. And, you know, some people I love, people who've done great work. I wish them absolutely the best. But you're a lawyer. You're well connected. I've got an email here from my friend Mike that I'm going to respond to on air after this break. Another lawyer that I've done battle with and utilized for services, you know, in mediations and different things over literally decades now in my practice. So I want to put the word out that we've got a new lawyer coming in next week and a new paralegal interviewing anyway, but it's hard right now finding, especially lawyers, paralegals aren't quite so politically oriented, but finding lawyers who aren't scared to death because I'm riding at the tip of the spear pushing back on the election, on January 6th, on the origins of COVID, on how safe and, you know, whether the government should mandate vaccines and all of those things. So I'm just putting out the call. If you're an attorney working for yourself or working in a law firm and they're putting masks on you or I mean, whatever, if it sounds good to be on the tip of the spear in a firm that does criminal and family law and civil on top of this new sort of constitutional angle that's really become prominent over the last year and a half since COVID, you know, reach out to me because we need the help and we need it soon.
I think people should be proud to be part of your firm. I've got to meet some of the members. I hope they're still staying, but I guess you never know. But your firm does great work, and it does. If you're a lawyer, you know, do you really want to just do slip and fall? Slip and fall makes the thing, but you're doing great stuff. John Eastman, that's going maybe to the Supreme Court. You have a chance to make a difference. When you went to law school, did you just want to take cases on to you know, just get by, or do you really want to fight the great fight? And your firm does, and people should be proud to join it. So
and I've never felt better about the future either. I mean, I know we're in the midst of all of this political turmoil, but it's necessary. It's needed. I've got kids and grandkids. You have a young son as well.
Yes.
It's a game on, man. Bring it.
God
bless you, my friend. Really do appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Randy.
All right.
Tell Tanya hello for me. You, and best of luck.
You better bet I will. And we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much.